Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Tracy Withers as part of our Mother's Day family service. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
Who knows that mums are great teachers? Right, children, can you think of something that your mum has taught you? Hazel's looking worried. Can you think of something that your mum has taught you? Go, James. I can't. You have to shout because they're being ever so noisy over there. Taught James how to do his washing. That's a good plan. What else has your mum taught you? Ella, have you got one? You're not helping very much. Come on, we're all children at some point. What have your mums taught you? You can do things when you put your mind to it. Good teaching. What else? That's a cop out. How to make cakes. Anything else? How to cook? No? Excellent. How to play? Minion Rush. Good teaching. Angus, if you can just pop my PowerPoint up, I'll give you a little bit of help with some of the things that my mum taught me. And we're going to think a little bit about how mums influence the outcomes of their children. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. So Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who were full of faith. They walked with God. They believed in God. They exercised faith. And they were great teachers. And they passed on their faith to Timothy. And he was then able to draw on what he'd been taught by his mother and his grandmother later in his life. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15 it says, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they're true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they've given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. And so this is a great example of a child being taught by his mother and his grandmother as he was growing up, and then being able to follow in their footsteps, to take on their faith and to not depart from it as he grew up. So a really great example of that scripture that says, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And Timothy gives us that example. Not only was he taught by his mother and his grandmother, but then he lived it and worked it out, and he was able to draw on the truths that they taught him as he himself became an example of faith to others. And so this is a real biblical principle that we should be training our children and young people, the next generation, training them up in the way they should go. We should be looking to leave a legacy for our children and young people. And Joel chapter 1 and verse 3 says, tell your children about it in the years to come. Let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. So there's a really clear instruction that we are to pass on the things that God has taught us to the next generation. We're not to keep our experiences of God's faithfulness and God's love and God's care and God's provision and God's protection and all of those other things that we experience. We're not to keep them to ourselves, but there's a responsibility and a biblical principle that says we should be passing those on to the future generations. And so it's not just a responsibility, but it's a decision that we need to make, because there's the choice, isn't there, that we can live our own selfish lives, focused on ourselves, doing what we want to do, or we can make that conscious decision to have an impact on the children and young people of the next generation. And so we want to be a people, I hope, who recognise that we have an influence on our children and our young people, and that there's a responsibility to leave a legacy for them, and that comes when we invest in their lives. And you don't have to be a biological parent to do that. I know we're celebrating mums today, but it isn't just mums that have that responsibility. Any adult needs to be aware of his or her responsibility to the next generation. You know, there's so many opportunities any time we are around younger people than ourselves, whether it's children here in the family at Elohim, whether it's children in the community, whether it's at Just for Kids events, whether it's our young people, whether it's young people and children in our own families. We've all got opportunities to influence and to have an impact on their lives. And God wants us to share our wisdom and our knowledge and our experience with them. So I guess the question to ask is, how do we effectively communicate and convey these spiritual truths that God has shown to us to the next generation? And I'm just going to mention very briefly today three areas where I think we need to be good teachers so that we can leave a legacy for the future. So the first thing is that the next generation needs wisdom and knowledge, okay? So we need to be teaching wisdom and knowledge by passing on the truths of God's word. And there are loads of them, aren't there? We could be here all day listing all of the truths and all of the principles of God's word which help us to live godly lives. But there's just one key one that I want us to just think about for a couple of minutes. And that's, well, in Proverbs 16 and verse 16, it says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver." And the young people of today need to be taught that it's better to have knowledge and wisdom than money. And it's better to be spiritually smart, if you like, than to have material possessions. And there's a key principle here that we need to get settled in our own lives if we're going to pass it on to the next generation. And that's the verse from Psalm 24 and verse 1 that says, "The earth belongs to the Lord and everything in it, the world and all its people." So that's everything belongs to the Lord. God's house, God's clothes, God's car, God's body, it's all God's. And as adults, we need to have a revelation of that principle first so that we can teach it to our children and young people. Because when we help the next generation to settle that issue in their lives, then their lives and their futures are going to be far less complicated and far less pressurized, because they have got a grasp of the revelation that it's all God's anyway. And so, well, how do we do that? How do we give them that wisdom and knowledge that they need to know that that's more important to have a grasp of everything belonging to God than having a grasp of money? Well, we teach them from a very young age to be God's stewards and to see that everything belongs to God and we're just managing it. And we need to be diligent in teaching that to our children and young people. We need to teach them not to worry so much about getting stuff as we do about getting spiritual knowledge and wisdom about how they need to live their lives for God. Okay, so the next generation needs to know how to live more than they need to know about how to make a living. All right. The second thing, the next generation needs character as a moral compass. So in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24, it says, "Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And so character is a word that describes our morals, our ethics. It's about integrity. It's about learning how to be the right kind of person and how to do the right kind of thing, especially in tough situations. Okay, and every generation needs character. Living without character is like trying to find your way around Leicester with a map of London. Okay, and if we don't equip our children and young people with the right map for their lives, they're going to be following the wrong map. And so we need to make sure that we're teaching them the biblical principles and truths that they need in order to live their lives with direction and purpose and integrity. But how do we do that? How do we pass character on to the next generation? Well, again, I think there's just a couple of things that we could focus on. Loads more stuff than this, because this is just a bit of a snapshot today. But two things that we can do to promote character growth in the lives of our children and young people. First one is that we can protect their minds from evil thoughts. And in Proverbs 15 and verse 14, it says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. I know it's a bit Americanized, but it says what it needs to say, doesn't it? Because what we put into our lives is what comes out. So if we want to protect the next generation from the evils of the world and our culture so that they can mature in what is good, then we need to help them to feed on truth and not trash. Okay? It's our responsibility to demonstrate through the way that we live what are the things that they should be putting into their lives and highlighting what is the rubbish, the things that will contaminate their lives. And that's a serious responsibility for us, isn't it? But if we invest into their lives in that way, we'll promote character growth, which will enable them to make godly decisions about how to live their lives in the future. And the second thing that we can do is to not protect them from difficulty. A bit of a double negative. Okay, we need to not overprotect our children from difficulties. So Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And maturity doesn't come with age, okay? It comes with responsibility, okay? So some people are mature at 17, while others might not be mature at 37. I'm not looking anywhere at anybody. Why? Well, sometimes it's because they haven't had the opportunity to take on responsibility. And children and young people can't learn responsibility if we always protect them from difficulty, no matter what our instinct might be, wanting to protect them. Allowing them to take on responsibility and experience some difficulties enables them to apply their character to the situation, they're facing, and put some of their knowledge and wisdom that we're sowing into them into practice. Okay. And those two aspects of character development almost seem to contradict each other, don't they? On one hand, we're saying protect them. On the other hand, we're saying don't protect them. And it's about holding those two things in balance. Okay, because if you go too far to either extreme on those things, then that we encourage an imbalance in the character development as well. So it's a fact that our children and young people, this next generation, are going to be confronted with all sorts of unwholesome ideas, suggestions, visuals. That is just a fact of life. But our job is to help them to filter through the call of our culture without over-sheltering them. Does that make sense? So it's holding that. So it's about teaching them what's right and wrong, teaching them what are the good things, sowing good things into their lives, and then allowing them to take on some responsibility in that so that they can develop that character and promote that character growth. If we're too strict, the spirit of the next generation is shattered. Okay, and that's why the Bible talks about fathers not provoking their children to anger, but bringing them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And that's good advice for every adult, not just, I know it's aimed at fathers in Ephesians there, but it's good advice for every adult that's interested in investing and training young people and children in the next generation. And we don't want our children and young people to become bitter and resentful, do we? So we don't want to be too hard on them. We do want to show them respect, but we also don't want to be too permissive, okay? Because then they'll not have boundaries, and then they'll end up being involved in behaviour that's harmful to themselves and to other people. So again, it's holding those two things in balance, okay? Protecting them by teaching them to sow good things into their lives and not over-protecting them from the difficulties of life. And in that way, they'll learn how to make the right response and do the right thing in the situations that they face. Okay, third thing, the next generation needs conviction, values to live by. Okay, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, this is from the Message Bible. Keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions, give it all you've got, be resolute and love without stopping. I liked that, just that version of it. Hold tight to your convictions. Be resolute. Give it all you've got. And convictions are the values that you live by. Okay, something that you won't give up because somebody else tells you to. Something you won't give up because of peer pressure. Something you won't give up because of the first hurdle or obstacle or difficulty. So first you gain wisdom and knowledge. Then comes character. And then next are your convictions. Okay, character is kind of about being right, being the right kind of person in the right kind of situation. Conviction is about having the fortitude, having the strength to choose right. Okay, and I guess, well, I know, and hopefully lots of you know as well, that the deepest and most long-lasting blessings in our life and where the greatest joy and peace comes from is when we make the right choices for God. And we need to make sure that we're passing that truth on to the next generation. And I guess one of the greatest biblical examples of somebody living out their convictions is Daniel. And when we remember how he was thrown into the den of lions because he wouldn't worship the king's idol, that was his conviction in action, okay? But his determination to live by his convictions came much earlier in his life. So Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 says, Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. So he was probably just a teenager when he was taken captive to Babylon. But he didn't give up what he believed in. He didn't give up his faith just because he was in a foreign land and ungodly people were in control in that place. He didn't give up on his faith because of that situation. That's conviction, okay? You make up your mind that you're going to do what God says and you live by that, whether or not it's always the easy option. And Daniel was able to show that living by his conviction was better than living by the ways of the Babylonian culture. And do you remember then what happened to Daniel? God promoted him and others respected him because he was a person of conviction. So you know, it came to the point where kings wanted to know what Daniel thought and he became their advisor, didn't he? Conviction produces passion and passionate people change the world. It isn't the person who lives the laid-back, easy life and does what's easy all the time that rises to influence and success in life. It's the person who has the courage to live by their convictions. And if young people, if our children and young people don't have convictions, they will be captivated by the values of our culture, okay? And that could be, you know, pleasure. I want to feel good. Possessions. I want to have a lot of stuff. Prestige. I want other people to envy me. Power. I want to be in control. So it's really important that we effectively pass on our convictions to the next generation. Now, the way to do that, the only way to do that, is convictions need to be modelled. They're more caught than taught, okay? And Titus 2, verse 6 and 7 says, in the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. So if you're passionate about your convictions, then the members of the next generation that you have an influence over will pick up on that passion. If your life demonstrates an honest reflection of what you say you believe in, then that's how they will learn the importance of that true conviction for their own lives and the true value of conviction for their own lives. And so it's our behaviour that has an enormous influence on the behaviour of the next generation. So I guess I'm just going to finish in a minute. But if we want to have an impact on the behaviour of future generations, then we need to be looking at our own behaviour first. So how are you doing in some of those areas where, you know, the areas that it takes to leave a legacy for the next generation? It's not just mums. I know it's Mother's Day. But for all adults, we need to be asking ourselves, are we sharing wisdom and knowledge with the next generation? Are we teaching character to the next generation? Are we modelling conviction for the next generation? If we just finish by going back to that example of Lois and Eunice in the lives of Timothy, they would have had to have made a conscious decision to invest into his life and to teach him what they had seen working in their own lives. And that's the kind of decision that we need to make if we want to leave a legacy for our children and young people and for the next generation. Amen. Good.